T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Roddy, what do they do at quarterback, talking about the Patriots?
Well, you're probably going to have to find something in the later rounds or possibly even trade for a quarterback, but there's no way I'm spending the number 3 pick overall on Drake May. There's no way.
Rodney Harrison on the Patriots, who picked 3rd. Maybe you should call Washington, trade a 2 then. Imagine having the 3rd pick and just being... Take one in the later rounds. Take a quarterback in the later rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Could all of this be a game by Washington? That Drake May's been their guy all along, but they know New England likes Daniels?
Could be.
They're trying to sway New England into giving them something to move up one pick, and then they still get their guy?
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It's draft week Thursday. We've got the draft. I'm just reading right now, Adam Schefter. Intel, what Adam Schefter is hearing regarding this draft and what could come from it. So we'll pass along some of that information, like some of the rumors or the buzz he's getting from calling all these teams. Of course, the NHL playoffs are underway. You can give us a call if you want to talk about which Sabre scoring a goal was the most impressive to you, or former Sabre, because it's all former Sabres, even down to Jimmy Vesey. But it's draft week, right? And here we are. It's 4 days out. Got our wide receiver big board here. Saw a little bit this weekend about the defensive prospects and some of the ideas that the Bills might have. Laiatu Latu, that's a name that defensive end. He's now thought to be maybe the best edge rusher in the draft. He had some medical issues that I think a lot of teams have cleared up.
Yep.
He was a name, Joe, that I thought if he's at 28 and the Bills take him, I think a lot of people would have been really happy. Myself included, as long as they do the right thing in the second round. Because, whatever, the Bills... The Bills have maybe some more holes than they've had in quite some time. I don't think any of them are, other than receiver, are horrid at this point. But they've got depth to fill. We know that. We know that it's an important draft for them with 10 picks to fill a lot of ideas. So, Latu, I saw him mocked as high as 10 recently. So he could slide way up the board now that his medical has been cleared up.
We're tracking betting odds like just here and there, right? Like they come up across your timeline. This morning, Pro Football Talk was writing about how Xavier Worthy, his betting odds are Bills or Chiefs, basically. Do you know where Laiatu Latu is now the favorite to go?
Well, it used to be the Rams where I saw him all the time, and that was 19. Now we're up to where?
DraftKings Sportsbook. As of 2 days ago, has Laiatu Latu as the favorite to be the 8th overall pick to Atlanta.
Okay.
He's the favorite to go 8 over Dallas Turner, just slightly, which would be the top pass rusher in the draft.
Yeah.
So, 8. He's not getting anywhere near the Bills. If that is to be, taken in any sort of truth, that they have some reason to believe he's going higher than even the middle of the first round.
Yeah.
Because that's not even really trade up territory. We're talking about this Rome Odunze trade to go get a guy like that and give me a break with that. I mean, they have a need for, I think, a high level pass rusher. Do they have a need for guys to just go out on the field? They have bodies at defensive end. They could probably use one more. The thing they're missing at defensive end is the guy on the top of the list. Epinesa and Rousseau and maybe Vaughn, but. What, and then Tuhill, who they signed, like they have bodies that can go out there on the field. That's the difference to me between defensive end and receiver right now. If you were to list the Bills' top needs by position. Isn't wide receiver one, number one, and isn't wide receiver two, number two? Because that's how I thought of it before. Like, replacing Gabe Davis. That's their number one need going into the draft. Now, I still have that need, and I have Diggs replaced. So, to me, like, this is why I like the idea of double dipping. I think the top two needs on the Bills are wide receiver one, and then number two is wide receiver two. Is defensive end more of a need than wide receiver two?
Not right now. I don't think, not right now.
Because you have guys that can, again, you have a starting group that you could put out there. You brought back Epinesa.
You have accomplished players, right.
Right, and receiver, you have Matt Collins.
Right, Matt Collins, is he the same as, he's not quite Jonathan, or Kingsley Jonathan, who had been a depth guy for the Bills that, you know, they might like a little bit here and there. Okay. You know, as we get closer and closer, and I'm sure a lot of Bills fans have kicked it around, do we really want them to do the big trade if they could? If Chicago says at number nine, yeah, sure, we'll do it. You want to pull the trigger? You want to go for this thing? You want to make the big trade? Let's be honest. If the Bills were to trade up to number nine, which has been mocked by several people, even Mina Kimes on her latest over the weekend was endorsing the idea of the Bills going up to number nine for Odunze. And I get crossed up on all this. I'll admit, I get crossed up because I think it's just, it's almost too easy. It's right to a degree, but it's almost too easy to just say trading up is stupid. Trading up is bad. And that's because it's process-based and not results-based. And I understand, Joe, like, you want to be process-based. You want to give yourself the best chance. But the draft, and whether or not you keep your job, and this is the key, you don't keep it on good process, you keep it on results. You keep your job on results. If you had good process and you finish 4-12, I don't know how many owners stick through that. And if you're the Bills and you're trying to get over Kansas City, how have the Bills been on process? Great. How have they been on results? They lose to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. They lose to the Bengals in the postseason. That's what's remembered. Their process has been fine, generally. They have as many wins as any team in a four-year stretch that's not won a Super Bowl. But what's the story there? They've not won a Super Bowl. They've not been there. If they had a team this year that wasn't as good as last year's team but made the Super Bowl, we would talk about that Super Bowl team as the best version of them. So I get crossed up on, well, you shouldn't do it because it's not smart. I don't disagree, but I feel like there are times where it's just worth it. You have 10 picks. If anybody would say more picks are better, can't I just trade up to number nine and then have a series of other trade downs, right? Ultimately come out with more picks.
Mm-hmm.
Have I done better? I have more picks. You tell me more picks is better. If in the next 2 years I had 17 picks and I make this big trade up for Odunze, and by the time the drafts are over, I make 18 total picks because I trade down in other spots, have I done better? Like the draft value chart itself is built on the concept that higher picks are worth more. The Bears, if you do the value chart, have the fourth most value in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have four picks.
Right. Well, part of that, too, for me, like, trading up is, okay, well, you're losing volume of picks that you have. That is based in they are weaker than they've been in past years. That might be true. I mean, they were, but remember where we thought they were at. 2 years ago, they walked into the season where everyone agreed, everywhere, that this was the most complete roster in football. This was the most loaded roster in football. So, okay, you're not as deep or as talented as you were 2 years ago. You were number one. At least you were thought to be number one. So where are you at right now? Because, man, I think it's overstated. I think a lot of the guys they lost this offseason were guys that were not impact players for them or were even on the field. We throw in guys like Tre'Davious White in that list. Someone was not on the field for them at the end of last season. We throw in two safeties in Poyer and Hyde that mean a lot to this organization and to fans. And it gets thought of as this giant, gaping loss that you had from last season, when in reality, those guys were only just guys at the end. They were not playing at an all-pro level. So what have I done to replace a lot of these positions? Like, to me, they're in the same spot that they've been. Is Mike Edwards and Taylor Rapp any worse than what Poyer and Hyde were for them last year? Like, I look at their roster and think that it's overstated. How many holes they have, how much depth problems that they have. What do they truly need? They need two starting receivers, and they need a backup running back and a backup safety. Is there anything else they desperately need? Maybe one more end? But we even talked about that with Sal. If they think Kingsley Jonathan is their fifth defensive end, I don't know. How desperate do I need to upgrade their number five defensive end spot if I'm not going to draft it in the first round? How desperate do I need to be to upgrade from Alec Anderson as the backup left guard? Because I hear a lot about their depth linemen as being guys that they're impressed by. How desperately do I need to upgrade backup linebacker with Nicholas Morrow and Dorian Williams, or all the tackles that they signed on the defensive line? Like, I don't see this massive problem for their roster other than a backup running back, a backup safety, and two starting receivers.
Right. Well, this, I think what it gets to is anybody that wants them to stay put, trade down, add assets, is that person that wants that wants training camp to start with 12 players that come in, and maybe one or two or three or four end up being great for you and you have a great draft class. Like, you can't get Matt Milano unless you have enough picks to take a Matt Milano in the fifth round. And that's not to say you should count on finding the next Matt Milano or the next Diggs. It's just, if you think the draft is a bunch of scratch-off tickets, well, then more scratch-off tickets are better than fewer scratch-off tickets. The problem I have with a lot of this is, it's not scratch-off tickets. There is randomness, and I've just started to arrive on that this year, that people think the randomness is fully random, and that's not. You know, go to a casino, walk around a casino, and different table games have different odds. Mm-hmm. They're not all the exact same. You know, look at the money line on 10 different NBA games tonight. They're not all the same. You could win all of them. You could lose all of them. Some of them cost more to get your win, and that could still be a loss, right? Like a to me, it's, yes, there are scratch-offs. Yes, there's randomness. But the idea of trading up for Marvin Harrison Jr., well, you never know. He could really bust. Really? What is the legitimate fear of that? The last top-tier receiver to bust that was not injury or quarterback-based.
What's right? What's more likely? Marvin Harrison busting or getting a player of Marvin Harrison's ilk, if he is what he's supposed to be, in the three or four picks that you trade out? Like, to me, it's not likely that you're going to get a player of that caliber. You might get good players. You might get guys that are going to contribute to you. But what are the odds you're getting someone that people think is going to have a statue in front of whatever city he gets drafted by that's going to be one of the best receivers in football? Because that, by the way, like, look at recent history all the way back. Go back to Watkins. Like, post-Watkins, how often are the number one receivers, like, actually what they're supposed to be? Because I feel like it happens a lot.
Yeah.
That those guys are talked about as being studs, and then they walk in, and they're studs, right? Like, Drake London wasn't supposed to be insanely good, but he was supposed to be really good.
And we're about to find out how good he is this year when he is a real quarterback.
And even already. He's really good. Chase and Waddle were supposed to be star players at the position. They both went top 10. Okay, a couple years in, they're both
really good. Jalen Waddle really set good. The NFL record for receptions by a rookie.
Yeah, so I know it's not perfect, but the guys at the very top, I mean like top 10, are often thought of as slam dunks, and I feel like 9 times out of 10, they're slam dunks.
Yeah. Let's get some calls in here. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550 as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Frank in Rochester leads off. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Morning. Good, Frank.
You can let me know if I'm off base. The way that I look at it, I don't want to trade for Ayuk, Higgins, or Jefferson because, you know, they're older and it costs a lot of money. I don't mind trading up, really selling out to get into the top 10, because I'm hearing that next year we have more cap relief, and if we lose some of those early draft choices, we might be able to replace via free agency as opposed to the draft.
Yep. No, you're not wrong at all. Like, the idea that if they had fewer picks next year, they could just add players via free agency. They'll have room. You know, the idea of, like, Ayuk. Think about the Diggs trade and revisiting that. Thanks, Frank, for the phone call. That's not trading up. They traded their first-round pick and a fourth to get Diggs. And what was the cost? The cost was, we will give you this because we know this player is not a bust. And that's really what it was, right? We will pay this because this player is not a bust. In fact, we think this player that's been really good for you can come here and be better. We'll feature him more, which is exactly what Ayuk would be wherever he goes. So I keep thinking about the idea of the draft and how trading away draft picks is irresponsible and you can't do it and it doesn't make sense. Yet, it's not the exact same, Joe, but I'm thinking about, to Frank's point about the salary cap. Teams take the salary cap and say, I'm going to trade away future cap for relief now.
Mm-hmm.
That is as standard as it gets. Hey, I got a quarterback. Let's move his money around and we'll lower his cap hit this year and take a bigger cap hit in the future because we can afford to think about that later. And right now I need some room and I need some players. I need to add two defensive ends. I need to add a receiver in free agency. How do I do it? I do it by trading away my cap space to the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, to me, that much different than putting together a package of picks to move up. How come in salary cap land, moving money down the line is seen as necessary, cagey, and let's be honest, downright brilliant? A GM moves $40 million into the future, and it's all about how, wow, what a move. How did he do it? Of course, it's like standard procedure. In the NFL, if you borrow from the future in the NFL draft, that's bad. So we know Bean and the Bills love to move up a spot or two. And that's really the big question here. He said in his presser, I like to go to bed Thursday night having got my guy. I got my guy, I can go to bed that night. Hmm. Who's his guy? Who's his guy this year? Because for anybody that wants them to trade down, I get that. There's plenty of merit to trading down and get double dip in the second round, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be an indication that he doesn't have a guy in the first at all, anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And could anyone really believe that the Bills are walking into Thursday night without being in his head thinking, I got a guy?
Well, you've mentioned the Matt Miller quote from ESPN over the, like, if you want a receiver in the first round, you'll get one.
Yeah, he said that 2 months ago. If you want a first-round receiver, you can have one.
Well, what are the odds? This would be along the same lines, like from even eliminate the top three, from Brian Thomas all the way down to Keon Coleman. Like, there's a list of 5, 6, 7 receivers. What are the odds that Bean doesn't love one of them?
Right. Or they have one guy. And if they do, okay, they have one guy. At 28, they trade down in the second round. The tough part for me about reading mock drafts where you're going to just create a trade down is it has to make sense to A, that team. Whether it's Arizona coming up, they've got to want to come up for whoever's there, give you more picks, and you have to be comfortable how far you slid.
Yeah.
Bean has traded down that I can think of one time of significance, and that was the James Cook pick. They traded down twice.
Twice, yep.
Which was a real solid indicator they didn't have a guy, right?
Right.
If you say, it's important to me to like to put Bean's words against Bean's words, and I think he's being honest here. When he says, I like to go to bed Thursday night knowing I got my guy, that means if there's a group of four that are close together and there's one that sticks out a little bit, he's going to go up for that guy. And in the case of James Cook, when they traded down twice, if he says, we have like 4 or 5 guys with the same grade, that's across positions. Think of how much you don't have your guy in that spot if you want to trade down twice.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they're on the clock for James Cook, we should probably ask, did they try to trade down again? Or was it just,
it's possible,
I guess we'll just get James Cook in this deal. You know, it's turned into a nice player. But there's no way he doesn't have a guy. And I said this on Friday. This is where I land going into Thursday, which is, if they don't trade up, it won't be because they think trading up is stupid. It'll be because they didn't want to pay.
Right.
Or they couldn't agree on the price. But I bet he wants to trade up for somebody. I bet there's 4 or 5 guys in this first round that if they made it to 20, he'd go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Would he go to 10? Malik Nabers falls to 12. Is he going?
He's going to try, I think. He's going to try.
Depends who. That's the one thing. There's the board, and then there's, it's almost like we want to put a little star next to the names, Bean's guys. The guy, he wants to go to bed Thursday night saying, I got him. I got who I needed to get. That's very telling of how he operates. He did that with Kyir Elam. Mm-hmm. He did it with Dalton Kincaid. The real question is, like, going into that night, was Kyir Elam that guy? Or was it the guy because Trent McDuffie got taken? You know, like, the draft is this fluid thing that's constantly changing, and you're preparing for all scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550.
I just would... Also missing from the trade-up conversation a lot, and I feel like this is more extreme of a hypothetical in this department than ever. Look at the value of different positions and compare them. Like, this is a thing with betting odds, isn't it? That if your left guard is out for a game, if your middle linebacker even is out for a game, what happens to the spread? Nothing, right? It never ever moves. It's pretty commonly thought of. The quarterback is like really the only thing that does it.
It's only quarterback and like Tyreek Hill.
Right. It's some of the star receivers as well. But to me, like, there's a spectrum here. There's quarterback that's like almost on its own thing, so I don't even almost want to count it. It's just, everyone knows that's just so far and above and beyond everything else. But for the rest of the positions, like, I'll hear an argument about left tackle or maybe defensive end, but for me, it's receiver. Like, that is, of all the other positions, what makes the most impact on your roster? What makes the most impact whether or not you are going to be a Super Bowl contender? You've already got the quarterback. What's next? And for me, it is absolutely receiver. I think it's obvious, especially maybe more than ever in recent years, the transformation of some of these teams and offenses when they add receiver talent. Look at coaching, I know, is a lot too, but look at the difference of the Dolphins once they added Tyreek Hill versus what they were before that. Look at what the Bengals have become. Like, there are so many examples of the Bills, even with Diggs. That team adds a star receiver. Look how much easier everything looks. Look how much easier it is for that team to go deep into the playoffs when they've got that level of talent at that position. And not only do I have what the value of that position is, it's literally the one where I'd be hard-pressed for anybody to tell me it's not just their number one weakest starting position right now on the roster, it's their number two as well. Like, they're right now, sitting here today, their two weakest positions
are the same position.
Are wide receiver one and wide receiver two. Those are their weakest starting positions. So if there was ever a time, given the point in your timeline you're at, the positional value that you have, and where you are currently at in desperation at the position, I could not design a better or an easier situation to warrant trading up for this player.
Well, trading up might make it tougher to get that second spot, but even then, we're probably underselling Curtis Samuel in this, but in like the 1, 2, 3, like, numbering receivers, it gets a little bit wonky with that, because Samuel can probably play on the outside some, probably on the inside. They'll have him in the backfield. Like, he's going to do a lot of stuff for them, and I'm excited to see what they do with him. Yep. 803-0550 on this. I've got a great draft-based instant trivia when we return. So stay tuned for that. Mark, we'll get to your call as well. Open phone lines, 803-0550 on the draft. It's 4 days away from the opening round, and of course, we are ready for all the chatter on the Bills and what they do. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
NFL Draft Week. We are 3 days away from Thursday's first round, which will have full coverage throughout the week here on WGR. The latest in draft rumors, more along the lines for betting odds, the Bills and Chiefs are the favorites for Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy. Stay tuned again throughout the week as the draft gets closer. The playoffs got rolling over the weekend, NBA and NHL. In hockey last night, crazy game between the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche, 7-6. It's the first 7-6 playoff game since Sabre Senators in 2006. The Winnipeg Jets come out on top. Casey Mittelstadt had his first goal in a loss for Colorado. Rangers beat up on the Capitals 4-1. Canucks win over the Predators 4-2. Panthers over the Lightning 3-2. Games from Saturday. All these were game ones. Hurricanes over the Islanders, Bruins over the Maple Leafs, including the NBA. All 14 home teams won their home games in game one between the two leagues. RBC Heritage at South Carolina's Harbortown finishes this morning, 8 a.m. Scotty Scheffler has a 5-shot lead. other than a giant collapse, he will win again. Those are your Paddock Chevrolet Sports headlines. Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a very exciting prospect. I don't know if I have him as definitively fourth as some people seem to. Whereas I think he's just one of the guys in that second tier. And the reason I say that is my fourth receiver is Xavier Legette. I've seen some people have him as a late second round pick and things like that. I think he is an absolute freak athlete. He looks like A.J. Brown when I watch him play. And I want a guy who can take a 6 yard, 7 yard slant and take it 70 yards to the house while being 6'1 and change, 225 pounds.
Greg Thompson to cover one on with the weekend guys. I'm with Derek, Sports Talk Saturday. Legette, the other thing about trading back, everybody that wants to trade back, you're a gambler there too, to a degree. Like, I think I can get this guy in a couple of picks, trade back. Somebody else jumps up and takes him. All right, on to plan B. Got to be a little bit of a gambler to trade back. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Draft week. Draft is going to be Thursday, of course. We've got you covered throughout. I've got a great draft-based instant trivia in a moment for Joe and for Josh here. But let's get to another call. Mark in Tonawanda joins us. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I disagree with the last caller. Give me Justin Jefferson. I mean, I'd be all in on that. That'd be great. And depending on what you got to spend for Ayuk, again, he's the number one separator in the league. I would be all for that as well, except the first-round pick for that. But I think there's still a gaping hole in our pass rush. I don't think we've proven that we can affect Mahomes or Burrow with just four guys with the front that we had. And I'm by no means saying, change the philosophy in this draft from going to, receiver to defensive line. But I just think that's a change in philosophy this year that we're seeing, that maybe the Bills are saying, you know what, we're going to try to put up 50 on you and, you know, hope for the best on defense. But if you can't go up and get a guy, and I don't think you get rid of Diggs without having a guy in mind, like you guys were saying, but I just still think that there's a big problem on that defensive line. But at the same time, I really don't care. I'm all in on boosting this offense, but I hope you guys get to hunt some flag sticks this week. I'm going to have to listen. Thanks.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
I mean, there's a little bit. One, they have guys. Like, Rousseau was, by the advanced numbers, like, even not that advanced, like, win rate stuff and pressures, Rousseau was their best pass rusher next year. He's back. And Epinesa was good for them last year. He's back. Floyd's gone. Is Vaughn going to give them what Floyd did? I mean, you might be asking a lot for that to happen. That's where you're really at. Oliver was good. This best season. And there's a little bit in me that is a point that we haven't talked a lot about during draft season, that it's usually more about the playoffs. Stop trying to get to Mahomes. You're just never going to do it. You're never going to focus on your secondary more. Focus on your linebacking core more. Safeties, if you want, to stop Mahomes or limit him, which I think the Bills are pretty good, especially linebacker and safety right now. Maybe the strengths of their defense are just in different areas than they used to be. There's a little bit of just stop trying to get to Mahomes. You're just not going to do it.
Yeah, the Bills have never sacked him in the playoffs, right?
Not a single sack,
not
right?
Not one time.
So go draft Chop Robinson. And he might be great. Am I going to get to Mahomes in the playoff game? Is he going to alter a playoff game against the Chiefs?
Well, this gets back to a root conversation we've had for years, which is should I be building a roster to beat the Chiefs? If you told me Chop Robinson will never sack Patrick Mahomes in his career, that doesn't make Chop Robinson not worth taking.
Right.
But I get the general idea, which is...
Like, do you want to outscore them or do you want to try to stop them?
Well, when they've beaten them, they have held them down.
Yeah.
Funny enough, right? They beat them 24-20 a couple times in Kansas City. And they tried to play that style in the playoff game here and played a very conservative ball control game. The other thing about defensive end is go ahead and look at the guys that are still available. Because that's a spot where they have... whether it's Leonard Floyd, right?
Yep.
They have done the hired gun game at defensive end. Don't forget they signed Casey Tuhill as well. I don't know if you like him too much, but whatever.
He's the Shaq Lawson replacement run guy.
Could Yannick Ngakoue be an answer here? He's available.
Well, I haven't looked. I'm going to look right now. Is the pool of free agent defensive ends more impactful than the pool of free agent wide receivers? Like if the draft doesn't go my way and, okay, I got to fill in some snaps at wide receiver. Is that going to be harder to do than it is a defensive end?
That depends. How many plays do you need a defensive end to make for you in a game?
In a game?
In a game.
A game on this team? Just in general?
In a game, as long as they're not killing you on the other plays, the answer is two is amazing. Right?
Oh, right, sure. Like, if you get to the quarterback.
You get two sacks, you had an amazing game. And I'm just trying to lay down, like, if you're a receiver, if I looked and told you the receivers that are available, I don't know how you would judge them. If you brought in Yannick Ngakoue and he had 8 sacks this year, we'd say, great signing. Right? Leonard Floyd, 9.5 sacks, was a really good signing for the Bills. They added him. No, he got 10.5. He was $9.5 million.
Yeah,
Leonard Floyd comes in, $9.5 million, 10.5 sacks, jackpot. What a signing. Great move. He was available. So, you know, all these things go together. Mm-hmm. McDermott calling plays. How aggressive will they be? How strong will their secondary be?
Yeah.
What quarterbacks do they play? A lot of getting to the quarterback is... a lot of sack stats are based on who you play. That's why the Eagles were number one in the league in sacks the year they made the Super Bowl and then did not touch Mahomes in the game. They got like 20 sacks on just dog breath quarterbacks. So I don't think the Bills should stop trying, of course. And I know you don't think they should actually stop trying, but there's definitely a case to be made for where will your returns come? If you can draft a defensive end in the first and the second round, you might not sack Mahomes again. And that doesn't mean those guys aren't good players, but it will look like you're wasting your time.
Right.
803-0550. I have instant trivia for you on the draft if you'd like it. It's good trivia. I'm very happy about this one.
Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Instant trivia.
Okay. So here's your instant trivia. Let me find my little... Okay. Perfect. Quarterbacks could go at the top of this draft, of course, right?
Should go.
Yeah. So, I have the franchises, the 6 longest streaks without drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Ooh, okay.
What? There are 6 teams.
Who's gone the longest?
There are 6 teams that have not drafted a quarterback since 2010. That's it. Every other franchise since 2010 has at least taken one first-round pick. First-round quarterback. 6 franchises have not done it since 2010. Who are the 6 NFL teams to have not taken a first-round quarterback since 2010?
All right. New Orleans has not done it since, like, the 70s,
that's the longest streak, 1971. The Saints have not, they have not taken a first-round quarterback since 1971.
That is insane. Insane. Okay. How about, well, New England? No. Sorry. Mac Jones. Okay. Hold on. First round quarterback since 2010 you had?
Yes.
Okay.
The Raiders?
Correct.
2007 was the last first round quarterback they took, Jamarcus Russell.
And they've been so spooked by it that they have never done it since. How about the Minnesota Vikings?
Incorrect.
Who's their guy?
Is that Christian Ponder? Who's the second round pick? Minnesota.
Christian Ponder was first, but that was okay. I thought that might have been before 2010.
I'll pull it up. They're not on this list.
Okay.
For first round quarterbacks.
It must have been Ponder.
What about Jordan Love? Wasn't he first round?
Green Bay.
That's Green Bay.
Teddy Bridgewater, first round pick, 2014. Minnesota.
Oh, he was a first round pick?
Yes, he was. Okay. He was the last pick of the first round.
Okay.
At one point, he was supposed to go number one.
Teddy Bridgewater was?
Yes. Like,
and then he had a really bad college injury, didn't he?
Entering that college season, it was thought he was going to be a number one pick, and he went last pick of the first round.
Okay.
So Minnesota, not correct. You got the Saints and the Raiders.
Okay.
How about the Buccaneers?
No.
No, Jameis Winston.
Oh, right.
Okay, let's see here.
The six longest droughts of not taking a quarterback in the first round.
How about we should be thinking of teams that like have had long time starters that are like at the end, you know, like who are the old quarterbacks? There's not a lot of old quarterbacks left.
Yeah, but that doesn't always work because like
that's not gonna work.
Vegas hasn't had a long time starter. Really.
Yeah, I don't like it. When's the last time Atlanta?
Falcons, correct. Matt Ryan, 2008.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, Seattle.
Correct. Rick Meyer in 1993.
Wow.
Whoa.
Is that the second longest? After New Orleans, probably?
No, there's one in between New Orleans and Seattle.
Ooh, okay. There's one in between New Orleans and Seattle. Okay, that's going to be... It's not Carolina. That's Bryce Young. We already got New Orleans. Tampa, we guessed. Chicago with Fields. Someone in the NFC North? NFC North. Lions.
Correct. Matthew Stafford.
Did that just squeak in? That's like 2008?
2009. Yep.
Okay. The... When's RG3? 2011? So Washington doesn't qualify here?
Not correct. Washington, not correct. The six longest droughts of not taking a first-round quarterback.
Oh. Dallas?
1989. Troy
Dallas.
Aikman.
Dallas. Right. Because Romo's not even drafted.
Yep. And that's it.
That's it? Okay.
That's it. Saints, Cowboys, Seahawks, Raiders, Falcons, Lions. None of them have taken a first-round quarterback since 2009.
The Saints not drafting a quarterback in the first round since
1971. 1971.
That's
wild.
Insane. Are they in position to... They'll get. You think they'll get there in the next 3 years? They got it, right? Derek Carr is going to... I mean, that's got to end soon.
It's
not going to be a long-term solution, I don't think.
There you go.
Wow.
Instant trivia. Sal joins us top of the hour when we get back. Talk about memories today. So first we had Winnipeg and Colorado play a 7-6 game. We remember a certain 7-6 game. Yes, it was the last 7-6 playoff game was, in fact, Sabres-Senators. And when we get back, another anniversary, another memory that you will most certainly, I want to go with, remember where you were.
Dumont leaves it to Briere, swings it in front of the net, and it's a dribble wide of the goal post. And now the Flyers will pick it up and bring it back.
When I see that anniversary comes up, I have to text my buddy and his wife, happy anniversary. Because I watched that at a wedding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, my college roommate.
The game and the hit too?
The whole thing.
Okay.
I was in the wedding. It was a wedding on Cape Cod. And I was in the wedding and I missed most of it to watch that game.
Yeah.
You know, looking back 18 years ago, would I do the same thing today? Maybe not. I might be more present for a friend's wedding, but, you know, it was the Sabres. What am I supposed to do? They hadn't been in the playoffs before that.
Right. When were they in the playoffs before that? Because I remember.
Not when I lived here.
Yeah. That is, I consider that the first playoff game of my life. Like, I don't remember the Bills I was for. So I don't remember Music City Miracle, and the Sabres were not in the playoffs before that since I think 2001. So I'm 6.
Yeah,
like that's the first playoff game for me, and that is, I mean, that hit which I think is the greatest hit I've ever seen in my life, and then a double overtime, just, oh, what a night.
Yeah.
I'm at a friend's house for that game. Everyone jumping up and down when Campbell puts him on the ground.
That hit being in overtime is also amazing.
Right. Right. Halfway through overtime.
Halfway through the first overtime. Talk about a playoff debut, right? Last night, you had some great games. The Winnipeg game with Colorado, 7-6, game one. Wow, welcome to the playoffs. Vancouver's crowd was incredible. And for the Sabres, like, oh, let's see what the Sabres are going to do in the playoffs. Oh, just a franchise-defining hit and a double overtime win in game one.
Right.
Good times.
Yep.
I was not at that game. I was at game two, though.
Oh, that game two was even awesome, too.
It was awesome. It was great.
That was a different awesome, though, right? That wasn't double overtime. That was just
pouring on.
Beat them over the head for the first 10 minutes.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So happy anniversary to the Brian Campbell hit on RJ Umberger.
Yep.
I watched it. It would have been on OLN.
OLN. Right? The Outdoor Life Network. Sure.
I don't think it was called Versus at that point, so I watched it on OLN.
It was OLN. Yep.
And then the game's in double overtime, so, you know, I'm in Cape Cod at this wedding. I don't know that they have OLN at the house back where we're staying. So I stayed at the wedding venue, and the bus took everybody back, and I was maybe one of the only people left there at the bar watching and saw Briere score in double overtime to win it, and then caught a later bus back.
Did they have to win that game to make it the hit more memorable? Would it be just as memorable had they lost it?
That's a great question, because there are so many moments that are lost because you lost the game.
Right. Briere scored a goal with 2 seconds left.
Against Ottawa.
To tie it against Ottawa, but they lost the game.
In 07.
And it was at home, too.
Yeah, and it's forgotten.
Yeah.
Gone to history.
This game, by the way, the Sabres outshot the Flyers in this game one game that went to double overtime, 58-32.
In RJ's call of Briere's goal, he says, wow, he scored on his 13th shot of the night.
At least his 13th shot of the night.
Yep. It was actually his 14th, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he covered himself. He said at least his 13th.
At least, that's true. He did.
He's there. He's ready for it.
Yeah. They won it anyway, so everyone was all good. They won it.
They did. Former Bill.
A whiteout, too, right? That game was a whiteout. That's the thing that Winnipeg has kind of taken over as their theme.
Yeah. Well, they did it long before. They're very famous for that. Did they invite? I don't know if they invented it.
They invented the whiteout?
They might have. Very famous for it. Former Bills corner Levi Wallace visiting with the Broncos today. Speaking of the Broncos, guys, uniforms today.
Oh, right.
New Broncos uniforms, and they did a great teaser video. So the Broncos tweeted out last night, I think maybe 9 a.m. or whatever time. I don't remember what time it is, so maybe it wasn't that good of a video. But anyway, all they did was they showed their players reacting to seeing the new uniform. Without showing any of the uniform. Like, let's see what they think. Player, coach, staff member, here they are. And you got to see what they said about them, and you don't see the uniforms yet. So the Broncos have new uniforms coming out today.
Nice. Sorely needed.
I think there's going to be something in there that's like, I don't know.
Maybe what? Different?
Like a third set.
Well, because when's the last time a team like went off the wall different from what they've ever done?
Tampa? Alarm clock numbers.
Oh, those were horrible.
They're so bad.
That's true. They did do that.
Could Denver pull off a black jersey?
Enough of the black jerseys, though. Could they?
They could.
Sure. Everyone can do black. Just come on. Get a little something that's your own.
What Denver needs to do is hit the orange crush vibe.
Yes.
Right. That's what they used to be.
Yep.
You know, maybe lighten up the orange a little bit.
Lighten up the blue, too.
Yes.
No more navy. Get back to your heyday, which was like, what, a powder blue kind of? A
little bit. And a better-looking horse back in the day. The horse was better.
A better-looking horse.
The horse now is,
it's always so angry.
Well,
if you're... How come these sports logo animals are always so angry?
Everybody knows if it's not angry, you're not a tough team. You gotta be an angry cardinal.
Yeah.
Not just a cardinal. Sal Capaccio, when we get back, it is draft week. We'll get his thoughts. I know Sal was talking a lot on the afternoon show, or we did our roundtable on Friday, about the idea of corner for the Bills and how he thinks it's, I don't want to put words in his mouth, almost like off the table in the first round for good reason. So we'll get him to elaborate on that, if I have that right from what he said. So we'll talk with Sal. Check in as draft week has arrived, and the Bills, of course, select 28th. Thursday, you can, of course, keep it locked here on WGR. And come to our draft party. We're going to be at Resurgence Brewing Company Thursday night for the first round. You know, be there. Going to be a good time. I was told there'll be trivia and games, and I will have a stack of gift cards.
Let's go.
Look at that. Show up and win some gift cards. Sal next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.